And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side of Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I am talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn and straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all, I like to say, out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, dialing us in on the live stream, watching inside the studio, audio and video with, you know, places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, there's a bunch of y'all that podcast the show after the fact and catch up where you missed. All I'm saying is, I say it on that way for, it's not just to kind of like say, hey, look at all the places we're at. What I'm trying to say is we see all the places y'all are at. The fact that you do listen to this show in whatever form means the world to us. So thank you very much. We appreciate you more than you can possibly know. Let it never be said that Right Side doesn't appreciate its audience. We know where we came from. A few more text messages real quick. Jerry from Decatur says, blessed are the peacemakers and ready are the warriors, airborne. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All the way. Dana from Athens says, appeasement of evil only gives evil strength. Put that on the bumper sticker. Thank you, Dana. Jack from Huntsville says, yet another terrific monologue, Colonel. Thank you, sir. He says, peace through strength, true words indeed. He said, I was up near your neck of the woods last night, saw Billy Bob Slingbade Thornton and the Boxmasters at the Sand Mountain Amphitheater. Oh, really? Very entertaining. He said, even got a guitar pick, a drumstick, and shook his hand. How about that? Billy Bob Thornton was in Albertville? Or that's pretty cool.
I didn't know that either.
I did not know this. Alex Mathen says, oh, thank God. I will never again have to wonder if a portly and slow-moving National Guardsman will actually be able to protect me from Al-Qaeda. Listen, I love the fact he literally told him there will be no more fat generals walking the halls of the Pentagon. And I tell you what, I wasn't going to do it till later. I want to go pull clip number three. Can you do that? Clip number three. This is a quick clip of Hegseth telling the generals and senior enlisted who were in the room, generals, admirals, and all of the sergeant majors and others and the master chiefs and everybody, that if what he had to say bothered them, they should do the honorable thing and just resign. Play it.
But if the words I'm speaking today are making your heart sink, then you should do the honorable thing and resign. We would thank you for your service. But I suspect, I know, the overwhelming majority of you feel the opposite. These words make your hearts full. You love the War Department because you love what you do, the profession of arms. You are hereby liberated to be an apolitical, hard-charging, no-nonsense, constitutional leader that you joined the military to be. We need you locked in on the M, not the D, the E, or the I, not the DEI or the DIE of dime. By that, I mean the M, military, of the instruments of national power.
That's awesome. The whole speech was like that. I mean, it literally was.
But this is why I think it's important. Everybody was on the left was saying P. Hegseth was a Fox News host and was like unqualified to do the job. But I actually think him having that background on top of his prestigious military background makes him such a good Secretary of War because he can speak to the issues and he can speak to the, you know, the guys that are under his purview so well without notes and impromptu and be so effective. I think that's important instead of having like a Lloyd Austin that's just like, you know, just there.
Lloyd Austin was an empty suit.
Yeah, exactly. But I think him being able to speak to the men that are under him in such a good, you know, manner, I think that's a strength, not a weakness.
I agree. And the left's now doing everything they can to denigrate him personally. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sick of looking at Twitter because X is filled up with people who are taking issue with this speech. Well, this was just cronyism. This was just like just pure schwack, man. This was nothing but a game show host out there. You know, it was ridiculous. And then a lot of people are saying, A guy who never made it past major should never have been allowed to be Secretary of Defense. Go back and look at the list of people who have been Secretary of Defense and tell me how many of them even served in the military.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, you can look at, I've got this guy that I follow. He's great, by the way. Just some of the best writing in short, concise statements about military life. You can tell he's an active duty officer right now, but he goes by Infantry Dort, D-O-R-T, Infantry Dort on X. He just posted, he said, I did some checking to find out how many of America's great military leaders actually got to skip ranks. And you got people like Eisenhower, who went from lieutenant colonel to brigadier general, to skip ranks. George C. Marshall was promoted from brigadier general to full four-star general, skipping three grades. You got John J. Pershing, went from a captain to a brigadier general.
That's a bit of a jump.
You got Ulysses S. Grant, went from captain to brigadier general.
Yeah.
You got James Gavin, who, by the way, James Gavin is a legend in the paratroopers. He was the commander of the 82nd Airborne in D-Day. I think Gavin is the one who actually broke his back on the jump and refused to leave the field. But James Gavin went from captain in 1941. He was a brigadier general by 1943. So this is ridiculous. And I would say that most of the people that are posting this kind of crap are the kind who literally never served or just hate Trump so much they can't abide by anything being right.
But I think it's a sign that Hegseth's doing such a good job because they're going after him personally so hard.
I agree.
Just like they are RFK, like Tom Homan. The most effective members of the administration are the ones that are getting attacked the most. So I actually see it as a good sign.
I would agree with that. Real quick, Tom from Decatur says, being a graduate of Princeton doesn't hurt Hegseth either. That's true. He's a Princeton grad. He's also a war veteran. He served a tour in Gitmo. He was in Iraq, Afghanistan. I got props. Joe in Tennessee says, the fat Karens on The View reportedly don't like the new rules for the military. Wah. You know what? I'm wondering if Anna Navarro is going to be on with me tomorrow night. We'll find out. Paul Hunts from Huntsville says, no one expects a general to score a 200 on a it'd be a 300, thank you, 300 on a PT test, but leaders who expect fit troops must be fit. I know, and by the way, there's age standards. So it's not like a 58-year-old general officer is supposed to do what a 22-year-old, you know, E4 can do. It's not like that. And granted, we all understand that general is not going to be the one, you know, leading the charge on the battlefield or standing in the way of the enemy in a foxhole. But nonetheless, there's a lead by example moment. Anyway, go back to Paul's text. He says, leaders who expect fit troops must be fit. When you're carrying your 100-pound rucksack, you don't want to come back to the base to see a general who looks like he's been sitting in the DFAC. That's the dining facility. Agreed. David in Huntsville said it's wrong to chastise these high-ranking military officers for putting up with and implementing the woke agenda of previous occupiers of the Office of Commander-in-Chief. No, it's not. There was no chastising them. He just told them it's not going to happen anymore, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't tell them they were wrong, but he did tell them if you want those things to come back, then you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I will also say, too, there were times when there were certain leaders who profiled. We call them spotlight rangers. They were spotlight rangers. They saw something. They knew what was, the winds of favor might be on me if I do more about this than I should have. And they made people's lives miserable. There are also ways you could have mitigated this for your troops, and you didn't. So I have seen spotlight rangers be, you know, in positions of authority and make your life miserable with all the things they think will get them promoted as opposed to what makes their unit ready. And that's what he's saying.
Yeah, so, I didn't see any finger pointing, shame on you. I think it was just, these are the new standards.
That's right.
If you don't like it, do the honorable thing and leave. But this is how things are now.
That's exactly right. David at Bucky's says, Phil, way back in 74, while stationed in Korea, our division commander would call us all together for a little pep talk. He reminded us why we were there and what was a few miles to the north. It did a lot to boost our morale and pride in our unit and service. There you go. Outstanding. And David and Bucky's, thank you again for your service. John from Huntsville, Phil, absolutely brilliant monologue. Thank you. Also, did you hear that those twin hurricanes are wreaking havoc on the island of Bermuda? I did not, but I'm not surprised. So, by the way, I think Trump World sounds like a very expensive amusement park. Ooh, it's only amusing if you're a conservative. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, say it. Is it so? No more Admiral Levine? No. By the way, Admiral Levine was not actually in the military. Admiral Rachel Levine, supposedly, was with the Department of Health Services. He says, while I have respect for anyone who's put on the uniform or does not, put the uniform on, does not mean that they're all respectful. Like you, I always say, respect is earned. Perfect. You guys are so amazing. I'm getting a couple more of these. Steve from Tennessee. The peace that passes all understanding comes from being the most prepared troop in that foxhole. Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit, Steve, but there ain't nothing wrong with being prepared. That's called good stewardship, if nothing else. Roger from Ardmore says, I am proud that I went through the police academy in South Alabama, one of the first, if not the first, women police officers in Alabama. She was required to meet the same physical standards as the male trainers. The only difference was she had to stay in the women's dorm because she could not stay with us. She made it through and gained respect from all of us. I'm with that. I've got a phone call. I did not know this.
Well, it was a little bit just now, so there you go.
Oh, great, great. Let me get it before the break because I can do that. I got a couple minutes. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, brother, how are you?
good afternoon, Colonel.
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Pushing of the sliders and the buttons there, JP.
appreciate it.
I've got some military friends, a friend who retired recently who took umbrage with the cost of traveling all the flag officers to meet with the Second War. I take a different tack. I think a tightening up and a pep talk, which was mainly what they were given, a very motivational pep talk for most of them.
Yeah.
But also a warning that that we're going back to some very old school rules here, and woke is gone, merit is back, and if you're not in line with that, it's okay. You're all old enough and mature enough to go ahead and retire out. It's not like anybody's going to get fired. But they can just go ahead and collect their military pension. You know?
Yeah, and I tell you what, I got a couple more thoughts on that travel too, Spark. First one is, I wonder how many of those generals at some point in their career seized onto that old phrase, carpe per diem, meaning that they went somewhere they didn't necessarily have to go because they knew they got paid per diem to do it. And people do it all the time, and we all know that. So I would guarantee you some of them have done travel and things that they didn't necessarily have to do, but they did because the government paid for it. But the other piece I'll say is, to be a general officer, you almost have to have been in service for 27 to 30 years. And I would bet that in their entire careers, that's the first time this has ever happened. So when you look at it from the standpoint of how long it took for them to get called to one of these meetings, I would think that we have saved money along the way and it was worth doing. I think this was a necessary expense.
Yeah, and a third element that occurred to me, when I went to the Warrant Officer Senior Staff Course, it was a two-week charm school when you've been on W-5, right?
Right.
But they let us know at the schoolhouse, yeah, what we want to impart on you and teach you is good, but you networking from all the different branches, in this case just the Army, your networking and communicating and being together is worth the price of admission. And that element of that meeting of all those flag officers,
yeah,
I think is probably really good, very good.
I would agree. I would agree absolutely. Hey, so you were a CW5?
I was.
You guys
I was quite young because I had been high school to flight school. I was like that teenage warrant officer who couldn't buy a beer, but he could fly a helicopter. I stayed in long enough to make W-5 at a fairly young age, actually.
That's awesome, man. I mean, CW-5s, you guys are like the mafia. Nobody knows what to do with you, and you're rare as unicorns. That's kind of cool.
Right.
Do I salute him or just like call him Bob? I don't know what to do.
it was usually chief, which is funny. The walk-in warrants across the Army, they love that. And in the Marine Corps, it's a gunner. And I don't know what they did in the other services that still had any warrant officers. But aviation, Army warrants, they didn't like being called chief. I'm not sure why that was.
Yeah, but you chiefs got to fly a lot longer. You stayed behind the stick longer most of the time, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I flew here for 15 years as a contractor after the Army,
wow,
working for the test center.
Wow.
And, 45 years of flying Army helicopters and never scratched one, never dented one. There's a lot of things I'm proud of in my service, but that's one of them, I guess.
That's cool. Well, thank you for your service as always, brother. Got to run to a break. You have a great day, okay?
You too, Colonel. I'm saluting you right now.
Thank you, bud. All right. We're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So a couple of thoughts on this Hegseth speech and the gathering. All the arguments are out there right now from the left that this was, they were going to be forced to sign a blood oath. Where did they get this stuff? Who ever heard of a blood oath anyway? Nobody signs blood oaths. What, are you going to have them cut their hands and stand in front of the altar and squeeze blood out on it and swear their fealty? I mean, what was happening here? The left is just completely off the rails, in my opinion. And I will also say that the vast majority, I would bet the vast majority of people who were saying incredibly ridiculous things, like I just replied to one. I couldn't help it. I'm sitting here looking. So Ted Cruz does not look like he's going to run a marathon anytime soon.
I saw that picture too.
So Ted Cruz is kind of caught in an image, probably at an airport, it looks like. Somebody took a picture of him and they posted on there, Senator Cruz strongly supports fitness standards for the military. Well, I just responded, senators don't stand on the wall, you jackwagon.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that kind of asinine mentality. So you're saying there should be no standards because senators are allowed to get out of shape? That kind of asinine behavior has got to go. Having been in the trenches, having been to places where we had no support. Listen, my entire first tour downrange was in what the Army called an austere environment, meaning that we had no support. I lived among the Afghan people. We got our supplies airdropped into us. We didn't have anything. In fact, we ran out of water sometimes. I mean, it was just unreal. Lived out there for the better part of a year, sometimes riding horses, wearing civilian clothes, the whole thing. Eating Afghan food, got dysentery all the time. It was nuts. My point in saying that is, it was my small team and a special forces team, and we were it. I can't imagine if there were people that were allowed to go into that who had no military bearing, no military experience, and no standards that led them up to the point that we could go there and do those things. You had to have the ability to make hard decisions without immediate supervision. We were away from the flagpole. But then I also served a tour in Baghdad, right smack in the center of Baghdad, right in the middle of the Shia uprising of 2004. And we were in the middle of what I would call high and tight army. I mean, it was, you know, I was part of an infantry battalion, and we were in the middle of the thick of it. And yes, you had chain of command, you had the flagpole nearby, you had all the things, but you still had to make quick decisions. And I watched E4s and E5s and E6s do things that I felt like were some of the most incredibly difficult and on-the-spot decision-making that I had ever seen. I'll never forget some of the reaction times I saw it, and it was all because they were well-trained and were capable of doing these things. I want an army that's going to be that way. Anybody who doesn't like yesterday's meeting or the things that were said at yesterday's meeting is a petty waste who has no idea what it takes to truly serve in hard places doing hard things. That was a nice little rant.
And perfect timing.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Taking a break. We'll come right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on what day is this? Middle of the week. I almost said
Hump
Friday.
Day.
I almost said Friday. I must be like already keyed in on the weekend. let me get a few more text messages and I'll jump into the first. I feel like we're already in Dipper number three, military minded.
You know, I wonder what our audience really likes to talk about, the military engagement.
We have a very military centric audience. We do. By the way, I will say though, shout out to Roy from Hartzell. Roy from Hartzell recently received one of our Right Side Ruffian shirts. He says, thank you so much. he said, I had my coffee this morning in my Right Side coffee cup. Now I'm eyeing that bulletproof influence glass and wondering what to do. Roy, glad you got it, man. Thanks for being a ruffian. We appreciate you. Kenny from Elkmont says, finally, a SecDef, SecWar with some guts and common sense and a sink, Commander-in-Chief, that will back him. Hoorah. Kenny, good stuff, man. SF guy from Huntsville, which would mean Special Forces guy from Huntsville, says, Colonel, about your comment about those who have a problem with our war secretary speech, I have a couple of 07 level friends, that would be like a brigadier general, who are apoplectic and themselves have been hard chargers and one involved in stuff that never happened. What is driving some of the reaction is reading the New York Times and the Washington Post, in addition to having already succumbed to stage four Trump derangement syndrome. I would agree with that. And if they're apoplectic, you know, sorry for their luck. But the bottom line is they didn't sign up to serve the ones they only like. But then I'll tell you what, though. I talked to a young officer yesterday who told me not only did he enjoy the speech, but it was the kind of thing he signed up for, and he actually chuckled all the way through it. Because I can tell you right now, the troops love hearing it. Mark from Huntsville says, current Army colonel here, so happy to see we're getting back to being a tough-as-nails Army again. Mark, thank you for your service, and appreciate you saying so. Thank you much. Monte from Huntsville says, okay, loving the attention on military fitness, clips of the sec def and others, and then the death of woke. But woke still lives in the push-ups, and I'm seeing in these clips, a 4-inch range of up-and-down motion is not a push-up. In my day, the crusty old NCO would still be counting one, 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 one. I've been there. And so on for these faux push-ups, seeing the same thing on the RFK clips. Make it stop, he says.
You know, he's got a point.
He does. I get it.
I was taught growing up by my coaches, nose touch the ground push-ups, and that's a real push-up.
I was taught roughly if you had your fist on the ground and you touched your fist with your chest as you went down. But, you know, it also, the military standard was the elbow, and long-armed guys like me, I'm 6'2", so dadgummit. Little short, stubby guys.
Yeah.
Little,
oh, they can crank them out.
Oompa-loompas are like a dukka 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 dukka. But yeah, me, I these long arms, I had to go down. You have to make it, your elbows have to be at a 90-degree angle.
Yep.
Dadgummit.
Hey, RFK, you know, he is older, so you got to give him a little slack. And he is jacked, so give him some slack too there.
I mean, listen, I hope when I'm his age, which doesn't feel that far away now. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, we saved more than enough to cover military travel costs just on condoms to Mozambique. Yes. Nofre from Lexington again says, we know why they were fighting so hard against Secretary of War Pete Hegseth in the confirmation hearings. If they knew he was going to clean house of all the people in the military for the wrong reasons. Yep. Matt from Madison says, to the naysayers, I'd like to quote Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. I'd rather you said thank you and just move on. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. Anyway, John C. from Madison says, I was always sort of a dumpy soldier. I never weighed what I was supposed to, so always had to do the tape test, or as you remember, the pinch test back in the 80s. But my PT scores were usually 270 or above. I can max out the push-ups and do sit-ups about a minute and a half. Since I had munchkin legs, I couldn't run as fast as people, but I was always able to run the distance. You always had the officers always say, if you can't run, you're not a great soldier, but the only thing they were able to do is run. And they got pissed off when I failed them in push-ups. John C., thanks for your service, brother. Nick from Harvest lastly says, hopefully he made sure to mention that general officers are not exempt from fitness and weight standards. He did, actually. He did. He said that every member of the uniformed services, to include general officers and senior enlisted in that room, will take a PT and a height weight standard test twice every year. Twice. I tell you what, let's go ahead and end this. I'm gonna go ahead and do, I'm going to call for audio clip number two. Let's do this. This is the beginning of Secretary Hegseth's speech. And I'm going to play it for a minute or two, react to it, and then we'll close out with a break and come back and start Dipper would have been number one on shutdowns. Play it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sure. Thank you. Please take your seats. Well, Mr. Chairman, the Joint Chiefs, generals, admirals, commanders, officers, senior enlisted, NCOs, enlisted, and every member of our American military, good morning. Good morning, and welcome to the War Department. Because the era of the Department of Defense is over. You see, The motto of my first platoon
Pause
was those
there.
Who long.
I'd like to point out at this point, he said the greeting at the podium, and then he stepped away from the podium, and he did not go back to the podium the entire time. He paced back and forth on the stage and gave this entire speech without the benefit of notes. Go ahead. By the way, it's 45 Pete, minutes long.
Peace must prepare for war. This is, of course, not a new idea. This crowd knows that. The origin dates to the 4th century Rome and has been repeated ever since, including by our first commander-in-chief, George Washington, the first leader of the War Department. It captures a simple yet profound truth. To ensure peace, we must prepare for war. From this moment forward, the only mission of the newly restored Department of War is this: war fighting. Preparing for war and preparing to win. Unrelenting and uncompromising in that pursuit. Not because we want war, no one here wants war. But it's because we love peace. We love peace for our fellow citizens. They deserve peace, and they rightfully expect us to deliver it. Our number one job, of course, is to be strong so that we can prevent war in the first place. The president talks about it all the time. It's called peace through strength. And as history teaches us, the only people who actually deserve peace are those who are willing to wage war to defend it. That's why pacifism is so naive and dangerous. It ignores human nature and it ignores human history. Either you protect your people and your sovereignty, or you will be subservient to something or someone. It's a truth as old as time. And since waging war is so costly in blood and treasure, we owe our republic a military that will win any war we choose or any war that is thrust upon us. Should our enemies choose foolishly to challenge us, they will be crushed by the violence, precision, and ferocity of the War Department. In other words, to our enemies, F-A-F-O. If necessary, our troops can translate that for you. Another way to put it is peace through strength, brought to you by the warrior ethos. And we are restoring both.
Go and stop there. That's so that the speech went that way the entire time. And it's absolutely nothing like what you heard in the last 4 years. Because in the last 4 years, and I've got a copy of it in the drawer here, in the last 4 years, we saw for the very first time the Heritage Foundation downgrade its view of military readiness to incapable of defending on more than one front, and also declared that several of the branches were considered to be weak in their current readiness posture. That has never happened before in all the years that Heritage has been putting together their review of military fitness and readiness. That being said, you also saw any number of things, like the National Defense Strategy coming out and saying that climate change was the existential threat that the military had to direct its attention to. Who does that? Not us anymore. Not us anymore. You saw recruiting. Remember this? You saw recruiting ads that weren't focused on what it would mean to be a warrior and taking a young kid off the street and making them into something that they never would have been able to make made on their own, part of the big green team. No, what you saw was ads that would say, I was born with two mommies and I couldn't wait to serve in the military so that I could help bring diversity to America. Who does that? Not us anymore. Not us anymore. All said and done, it's an entirely different mindset. But it is the mindset that we're supposed to have. And having served myself and been a part of a family who served, I am gratified to know that the time spent in uniform by members of my family, both past and current, is now being leveled up to a point that it was not before. I was very concerned about where we were headed. I tried to maintain a sense of optimism, but it was only an optimism that was not built upon the caliber of people who were enlisting, but on the lack of caliber in the people who were leading. What you're watching right now is a War Department that is absolutely designed to do that which it was intended to do. I'll end with this. There's a quote that I love from John Stuart Mill. It says this. It says, "The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature, and he has no chance of being made free unless he is kept so by the exertions of better men than himself." It's a great quote. Think about it. All right, there you go. That's Military Minded. I think I changed the whole order of the day. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to jump on into some Shutdown Shinola. Shutdown Shinola. Oh, here we go, man. And the senator has just left town. Oh, boy. We'll be right back.